Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, with Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today. As we talk about a cultural indice that's probably one of the most defining for our day. Friends, this is significant as we continue to watch the slow but steady decline of our civilization, not just the Christian influence in our civilization, but our civilization itself is declining slowly but surely and committing suicide. And here's an indication of that happening, and that is the U.S. heroin deaths has jumped 533%, friends, in just the last 14 years. That's right, a five-fold increase. I'm not talking about 53% increase. I'm talking about 533% increase in just the last 13 years. More Americans lost to drugs this year than the Vietnam War. And that's each and every year for right now. We're looking at more Americans killed by the opiates, killed by the drug scene, than those that were lost in the Vietnam War, according to this article from CNN. There were 2,089 opiate deaths in 2002, and now it's up to 13,219 in 2016, a 533% jump. And my understanding, if I follow each and every headline that comes out just about every other day, then we're going to see another increase in 2017, Bill. This is significant, friends. More Americans lost to drugs this year than Americans lost in the entire Vietnam War. The U.S. military saw 58,000 casualties during Vietnam. This year, drug overdose deaths are expected to reach an all-time high of 71,600. That's, what, a 40% increase over the number of people killed in the Vietnam War altogether. And, friends, this is on the headlines almost every day, and I think we need to comment on this. As Christians, we want to be those who understand the times and are reacting to what we're seeing and bringing a distinctively biblical approach to this and pointing out how man is sinning, how man is seeing things wrongly, needs to repent and realize his Savior is not drugs, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's why the church needs to speak with relevance to these issues. And this is affecting more people than you think. We're going to talk about the extent of this on this edition of the radio broadcast. The CDC is seeing a trend in overdose deaths relating to cocaine as well. It's increased from 4,000 in 2009 to 6,700 in 2015. The agency expects that number to be at 6,900 in 2016, all the way up to 11,000 cocaine-related deaths this year, meaning it's going to just about double in 2 years. This thing is almost out of control. You thought we had problems in the 1960s. 1970s with the young people turning towards drugs. Well, now it's more serious. Now we're talking suicide. Now we're talking drugging themselves to death by the tens of thousands. You thought the Vietnam War of the 1960s was bad. You ought to check out the 2010s. Be back more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
And We're back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with me today as we talk about the drug influence upon America. It has been a virtual explosion of drugged out Americans in over just the last 10 or 15 years. In fact, I think the state of Ohio is one of the very worst places as this problem, this epidemic of drug overdosing is taking the nation by storm. Approximately 11.8 million Americans misused an opioid in 2016, according to this new report from the Health and Human Services. Since 1991, the opioid prescriptions bill up from 76 million in 1991 to 259 million opioid prescriptions last year. That's up 350%. The population increase has been like 25 to 30% increase since then. But the 350% increase in opioid prescription use since 1991, that's almost a prescription per American, per adult, size teenage American. This is outrageous.
And according to a recent article in The New Yorker, according to National Survey of Drug Use and Health, 97.5 million Americans used or misused prescription pain pills in 2015.
Incredible. Incredible. Increase of 350% of prescriptions and, of course, 11.8 million Americans misusing those opioids. Mood-altering drugs as well. I think we ought to remember the Ritalin, the psychotropics. That's up 350% since 2000 for adults and some 2,500% increase for kids since 1991. The mood-altering drugs, the opioids, up by hundreds upon hundreds of percentage points, thousands of percentage points, at least for kids. You think this problem's going to get easier over the next, say, 10, 15, 20 years when these kids grow up, friends? No way, no way, no way, no way. The drug dealers are no longer the illegitimate drug dealers. Hey, buddy, you want a little cocaine? The guy opening his trench coat and asking if somebody wants a little shoot up. No. The MDs, the morphine dealers, the marijuana dealers, the MDs are the ones dealing the drugs these days. 259 million prescriptions coming from the MDs. MD, I think, increasingly stands for morphine dealer. You agree with me?
Yeah. Drug overdose deaths have tripled since 2000, and opioid abuse now kills more than 100 Americans a day.
Per day. Incredible. Well, friends, the last few months also I've run into several Christian families, homeschool families even, where kids are hooked on heroin. Even children of elders of conservative type reformed churches. Yeah, it's all over the place. So what's going on, man? What's happening with the nation as the zeitgeist is moving towards a drugged out state in which tens of thousands of kids, adults, are killing themselves by drug overdose, a 533% increase just since the year 2002, according to this CNN article that's sitting right in front of me. Let's talk about some of the causes, Bill, and I've got a few. You might have something to add to it. I think the first and foremost is that, remember, these are Band-Aids. Remember, friends, we're talking about psychological issues in many cases in which people are reacting to their troubles and wanting to solve their problems. And they do so by way of these shortcuts known as opioids. I think it's connected to, and all psychological problems are connected to, sin and guilt. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the basic human problem, friends. I mean, as a Christian, we got to come back to this issue of sin and guilt. And sometimes, yes, people misplace other people's sin and other people's guilt upon themselves. And yes, in some cases, they were abused, in which case they're thinking of other people's sins. But we all have sin and guilt, and we respond to the sin and guilt oftentimes in the wrong way. The more guilt, oftentimes the more drugs, the more suicide, the more psychological pain. They have to deal with that psychological pain. You say, well, there's a rise in sin and guilt of the nation. What do you mean by this? Well, I mean that Roe v. Wade, Obergefell, I mean the slaughter of 80 million babies over the last 40 to 50 years by surgical abortions, and add to that another 100 million babies by the birth control pill with its contraceptive abortifacient capabilities. And you've got a nation that is suffering under a load of sin and guilt. And of course, the judgment of Almighty God is, I'm sure, hovering over these people, this nation. And so I think we need to be sensitive to the fact that the psychological problems felt by our families have something to do with sin and guilt and the lack of confession, a lack of a realization of the damage, the destruction, the devastation that has been brought upon the nation, upon themselves, upon their families, because of all of the dead babies, because of the sexual problems, because of the pornography use that ties into divorce rates, that ties into the homosexuality incidences, and so forth and so on. Friends, the rise of sin and guilt, thanks to the free sex movements, and now they're paying for it big time, paying for it psychologically.
I think there's also the sense of despair among youth, especially because they're being bombarded by media in all shapes and forms, from music to movies to newscasts, and by the educational system in general that says that we are to be in despair, that the planet is dying, that we are killing everything, that we are responsible for these mythological problems that that supposedly exist because of man, that man is the problem, and that we need to realize that that is not God's perspective. We were created below the angels but above the animals. We should not act as animals, nor should we assume the position of God and say we have control over the planet. So there's this sense of despair that we have problems. We're being inundated with problems that we cannot solve, and as a result, we want to escape this sense of being overburdened and overwhelmed. And so the only way to do that is to become mindless.
You tell a child that he's cosmic dust for 3, 4, 5 generations, you're going to pay for that as well. That is, ideas have consequences. That's what Bill is saying here. Drugs are the ultimate escape, but they want to escape from reality because they have already escaped from humanity, from personality. And I think this is an aspect as well. The escape from God is almost always associated with a escape from other people, and that is from other personalities. The electronic world, television, internet, computer games take children as young as 6 years of age, 4 years of age, away from human relationship into a fake world. And a large percentage of life is lived in the fake world. But ultimately, man is running away from God, the ultimate reality. If they were just to open their eyes, they would see his revelation in other humans, in the trees, the skies, the oceans. His power, his glory would be immediately recognizable. But they want to escape it. They want to escape God. They want to run from God. They want to hide from God in the garden, as Adam and Eve did behind the trees. And they find 10,000 escape ramps off the highway of reality in order to do that. And of course, all of that is buttressed by this bad worldview of materialism and anti-supernaturalism.
You know, it's what Adam said first. He said, I was afraid. When he said, why were you hiding? I was afraid.
Guilt.
Yep.
Yep.
It's fear and guilt and sin that dominate our thinking. And as a result, we can't think clearly. But if we would confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And we would be set on a right path rather than on the wrong path of trying to either create a utopian world, which is impossible, or trying to be to escape the idea that we're overwhelmed and we are powerless. And so we have this idea that we can take drugs and become powerful.
Why are Americans drugging themselves to death? 259 million opioid prescriptions last year, my friends. Huge increase. Here's another reason I would offer for this. As we talk about the causes that are affecting this incredible increase, I think a lot of Americans are seeking heaven on earth, your best life now. Somebody should use that as a title. It'd probably be a bestseller.
I bet it would be a bestseller.
Yeah, I think Americans are looking for the best life now. That is, they believe, they come to believe this is as good as it gets. And so I think a lot of Americans are looking for a pain-free life, Bill. In fact, Americans spend more as a percentage of the GDP on medical, on these opioids, than I think any other nation around the world, any other major nation around the world. There might be an island country here and there that spends a little bit more. But you compare the dollar amount per GDP spent upon medical care in America, friends, it is way, way, way higher than other nations. Why? Because Americans especially are looking for a pain-free life. They'll do anything to get a pain-free life because this is as good as it gets. But, Bill, that's not a biblical way of looking. Didn't Paul say it's going to be through some tribulation we enter the kingdom of God?
Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But yeah. Then he says it with an exclamation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
It's not I've overcome the world, it's I've overcome the world.
With a little hallelujah at the end
of
that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a hopelessness about those that don't see heaven beyond yonder river. You know, they don't see that there's something beyond the mountains that we're climbing, the valleys we're traversing as we walk through the pilgrim pathway. Okay, the disappearance of fathers, I think, is also an issue, friends. As we talk about the breakdown of our entire social system, we have to consider the connections between this hopelessness amongst the youth and the disappearance of fatherhood. Remember, 57% of kids born to millennial women are born outside of wedlock, up from 6% in 1960 and some 20-something percent in the 1970s. Short of the grace of God, friends, we're going to see the devastation, the psychological effect upon tens of millions of kids. And the problem is going to be way, way worse over the next 20 years. Trust me on this. Short of a revival, short of some kind of a supernatural work of God where the mediatorial work of Jesus, the atoning work of Jesus, the blood of Christ is applied by the Holy Spirit of God in an amazing revival and the regenerating of tens of millions of hearts across this country. But fatherlessness and divorce will produce more weak fathers in the next generation, more weak relationships, more broken people, less marriage, and more psychological issues by a long shot. My friends, it is going to be 10 times worse, 10 times worse than it is right now, because the fruits of what we are producing right now are going to come to bear in the next 10 to 15 years. Fatherlessness, 57% of kids born to millennials, born outside of wedlock. That doesn't include the kids that are damaged, big time damaged by divorce. The next 20 years will be a living nightmare for our social systems, friends. And you can expect there to be a massive increase in the treatment of psychological problems by the use of drugs. Short of the gospel, short of pastors and evangelists preaching the gospel and people falling on their faces before God and realizing their desperate need for a savior. Friends, short of that, it's going to be a living nightmare. You know it will be, Bill. Well, I want to answer the question, why the children from Christian homes? Why are children from Christian home schools shooting themselves up with heroin? And why are they so addicted to cocaine? Well, why is this even common amongst those raised in Christian homes? Well, just a couple of reasons. Bill, I think that those that rebel against the covenant, those that rebel against the blessings that God has given them in Christian homes often suffer badly. And rebellion and an attraction to peers who are rebellious and very self-consciously bold in their autonomy seems to happen to these kids raised in these Christian homes. Now, and again, it's not everybody. It's rather few and thing and far between. But where there's this rebellion, there tends to be this attraction to peers who are very self-consciously bold in their autonomy. That is, you know, peers that are going for the hardcore stuff, going for the hardcore drugs.
They're
yeah,
rebels.
The rebels. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the Christian fathers have their own problems. Sometimes there's too much pride in the home, not enough confession of sin. Sometimes relationships break down. Sometimes there's an inconsistency in biblical teaching in the home. Sometimes there's too much worldliness in the home, licentiousness, habitual alcohol consumption within the home, and ungodly entertainment. Despite the fact that they claim to be Christian, we find that sometimes the homes are rife with these issues, anger, drunkenness, habitual attachment to alcohol and so forth. And they're shocked their kids go for the cocaine and the heroin. Well, it turns out the sins of the fathers are often passed on to the sons, despite the Christian label. So I think we have to keep that in mind as well. We wrap up the program. Bill, I think it's important that we bring back a biblical perspective on drugs and alcohol. You know, the Bible just fundamentally forbids intoxication. So if somebody said, well, where in the Bible does it say it's wrong to do marijuana? Where in the Bible does it say it's wrong to take morphine or to take up cocaine or heroin? Well, the Bible forbids intoxication. In Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But in Proverbs 31, what we find is give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Now, there's a distinction between wine in the Bible and strong drink. Strong drink is assumed that with a fairly minor application of it, there will be something of an intoxication. There will be a loss of control. And so what you find with strong drink, what you find with morphine, what you find with heroin, what you find with cocaine and marijuana is one shot, one puff, and you're intoxicated. You're not at a point at which you should drive a car. You're not at a point at which you should be claiming to be a Christian if you are intoxicating yourself with morphine, heroin, or with alcohol. But here's an exception. Proverbs 31 says, "Give strong drink to him who is perishing." It's strong drink for the dying. That's the principle. Now, the question here is, what do we do with all of these morphine dealers, the MDs that are providing 259 million prescriptions in any given year? Well, I did a calculation online and found that there were 2,600,000 people dying in any given year in America. So this idea that there are 259 million dying people in America that need a prescription of opiates, my friends, is ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. That's too many prescriptions. That's way too many prescriptions. The Word of God is clear. If they're on a death trajectory, and the doctors will tell you that there is a death trajectory, if somebody is on the death trajectory, then it's obvious at that point the MD should offer morphine. Yes, 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 I agree with that. But I don't think there are 259 million dying people in America in any given year. There are some 2,600,000 dying people, exactly 1% of the prescriptions given for the opioids. The others, they're suffering pain. There are forms of painkillers that are not addictive. There are other forms of painkillers that do not provide the intoxicating influence of heroin or marijuana. The rest of the people suffering pain, they've got their NSAIDs. They've got Ultram. They've got other forms of non-addictive painkillers. And so let's suggest that. But what is the biblical principle? The biblical principle is strong drink to him who is perishing, and a lighter wine to those who are bitter of heart. That's the principle from the Word of God. So my recommendation is that MDs should be very careful in the dispensing of these painkillers like morphine and heroin. Very careful with this, because they do lead to addiction and intoxication. The Bible forbids intoxication, except for those who are perishing. Give strong drink to him who is perishing. Proverbs 31. Well, my friends, if you'd like a little more on biblical principle relating to all these various areas of life, be sure to access our Proverbs Bible study guides. We have three Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is God's book on wisdom, which answers just about every question that we would deal with on this radio program.
Is that your prescription?
Well, my prescription, our listeners? My prescription is the book of Proverbs. Okay. Absolutely. And we put a three-part series together. They're called Family Bible Study Guides on the book of Proverbs. Every verse of the book of Proverbs, together with the discussion questions and so forth, available through these Family Bible Study Guides. And we would encourage you to use these for your children. Why? Because the book of Proverbs is God's book on wisdom. It's God's basic curriculum for the young man or young woman who needs to pick up on some knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, this is the wisdom of God. This is God's curriculum, even better than all the curriculum you will find in the public schools, the private Christian schools, and the homeschool. Be sure that you give your children God's book on wisdom. If you were to dispense with all other curriculum and only give your children certain wisdom and certain knowledge that are contained in one single book, I would recommend the Word of God, the Bible, and specifically the Book of Proverbs as their basic education. You'll find the Book of Proverbs about halfway through the Word of God, some 31 chapters, and I have written 3 books on the Book of Proverbs, simple Bible study guides, some 600 pages, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. And we want to be sure that our children know the Book of Proverbs inside and out, every single verse, how it applies, and the kind of wisdom that God is giving us to apply to our day-to-day lives. Be sure that you get the Book of Proverbs into your children, inculcate these truths into your children. And the Book of Proverbs Bible study guides are available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Monday, September 18th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Protests in St. Louis, Missouri over the acquittal of a white police officer and the shooting death of a black man turned violent late Friday as demonstrators clashed with riot gear-clad cops and surrounded the home of the city's mayor, reports Fox News. Members of a crowd of about 1,000 broke at least 2 windows at the home of Mayor Lyda Crewson and threw red paint at the brick house before riot police moved in to disperse the crowd with tear gas, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. President Donald Trump's tough talk on illegal immigration was a big part of the reason his bid for the presidency gained such momentum, reports the LA Times. Trump shifted last week in an apparent compromise with the Democrats to allow the 1,700,000 children of illegal immigrants, the so-called Dreamers, to stay in the country. The Dreamers are comprised of those living in the country under the age of 31 who came to the U.S. as children, who do not have a criminal record, who have served in the military, or are currently attending or have graduated from high school or college. Just weeks ago, at a Phoenix, Arizona campaign rally, the president said the sole route to legal status for those living in the U.S. illegally would be to, quote, return home and apply for reentry like everybody else, unquote. Conservative columnist Ann Coulter, author of Adios America, who was an early endorser of Trump, is aghast, tweeting, quote, I bet on a loser. At this point, who does not want Trump impeached, unquote. A new Public Religion Research Institute study has shown that the majority of white evangelicals believe that a politician who acts immorally in his private life is still able to conduct himself ethically in his public life, reports Relevant Magazine. When the survey was conducted in 2011, only 30% of white evangelicals said that a politician who acted immorally could still be a good public leader. Last year, however, in 2016, the same survey found that that percentage of white evangelicals jumped all the way to 72%. The Bible takes issue with their unbiblical conviction. James 1:8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Last Thursday, popular conservative author Ben Shapiro dazzled the audience at the University of California at Berkeley when he rapidly refuted a young man's pro-abortion arguments, reports Life News. During the question and answer period in the sold-out auditorium, a young man asked, quote, why do you think a first trimester fetus has human value, unquote, explaining that he believes sentience, or the capacity to feel, perceive, or experience, is what makes humans valuable.
The problem is anytime you draw any line other than the inception of the child, you end up drawing a false line that can also be applied to people who are adults. So either human life has intrinsic value or it doesn't. I think we both agree that adult human life has intrinsic value. Can we start from that premise?
I believe that sentience is what gives something moral value, not necessarily being a human alone.
So when you're asleep, can I stab you?
I'm still considered sentient when I'm asleep.
Okay, if you are in a coma from which you may awake, can I stab you?
Well, then, no, I guess not.
I'm glad you answered that, because I have no interest in actually murdering you.
But that's still potential sentience, and it's still a potential...
I agree, it is potential sentience. You know what else is potential sentience? Being a fetus. Yeah.
Conservative radio talk show host Laura Ingraham is now getting her own weekday show on Fox News Channel. Here's the new lineup: Tucker Carlson, Hannity, followed by Laura Ingraham. Broadcaster Larry King revealed last Wednesday that he was diagnosed with stage 1 lung cancer, which was caught through a chest x-ray, leading to successful surgery this summer. It was discovered during his annual x-ray because of his previous heart attack and heart surgery. Rosie O'Donnell's ex-wife, Michelle Rounds, was found dead in her home last Monday of an apparent suicide at the age of 46, reports MSN.com. Rosie said, quote, "I am saddened to hear about this terrible tragedy. Mental illness is a very serious issue affecting many families. My thoughts and prayers go out to Michelle's family, her wife, and their child," unquote. Rosie and Michelle rejected biblical counsel and started dating in 2011 and went through a faux marriage ceremony in June 2012. They broke up in November 2014, and Rosie filed for divorce in February 2015. 7 months after they made their unnatural relations official in the eyes of the state, Rosie and Michelle adopted their daughter, Dakota, who is now 4 years old. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, "But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband." Christian apologist Nabil Qureshi died on Saturday after battling advanced stomach cancer for the last year. Stay tuned for a detailed look at his life and legacy in my special report immediately following the newscast. And finally, Houston Texans All-Pro defensive end J.J. Watt's online fundraiser to aid flood victims of Hurricane Harvey, which started with a goal of $200,000, closed out at more than $37 million, reports Good News Network. The money from 209,430 donors purchased supplies that filled 12 semi-trucks, which Watts and his teammates helped to distribute in the aftermath of the hurricane. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, September 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a World View special report. I'm Adam McManus. Popular evangelist Nabil Qureshi, who once sought Allah, has now found Jesus face to face. He died Saturday of stomach cancer, reports Christianity Today. Qureshi was born and raised in the United States to a devout Pakistani Muslim family and had finished the Quran by the time he was 5 years old. He met his match when he attended Old Dominion University in Virginia and met David Wood. Qureshi challenged Wood's Christian faith when he saw him reading a Bible by himself. Thus began a 2.5-year period where the pair challenged each other on the doctrines of their faiths. Eventually, Qureshi realized his arguments for Islam crumbled under the evidence for Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and divinity. But it wasn't just the physical evidence that convinced Qureshi. He had 3 prophetic dreams about Christ that eventually won him over. Qureshi accepted Christ as his Savior and faced the difficult task of telling his parents. He said, quote, "When my parents did find out, it was probably the most painful day of my life. To have Christ in my life makes every loss worth it, unquote. He went on to study Christian apologetics at Biola University, while also getting his medical degree from Eastern Virginia Medical School. He later completed a degree in religion at Duke University and entered a PhD program in New Testament studies at Oxford University. Qureshi became an itinerant speaker with Rabbi Zacharias' international ministry. Qureshi published 3 books, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, A Devout Muslim Encounters Christianity, Answering Jihad, A Better Way Forward, and No God But One, Allah or Jesus? A former Muslim investigates the evidence for Islam and Christianity. Listen to a brief clip from one of his Christian talks in which he indicates that he was willing to count the cost to follow Christ even after he was virtually disowned by his Muslim parents.
The resurrection happened. Jesus claimed to be God, then he died on the cross, and he proved it by rising from the dead. God died on the cross. That God who made the universe suffered that death because he loves us that much. That is the Christian message. That is worth believing. Now, if you ask me, Nabil, you had a perfect life. You had a family that loves you. You were becoming a doctor. You had a good place in society. Everything was great for you. Was it worth it? Absolutely, it was worth it. I would do it 100 times over again. My mom and dad didn't come to my wedding. Every single time I see a video of a son dancing with his mother at his wedding, I have to think that it was worth it. Every time I see parents lovingly hug their children and say, we're proud of you, I have to think it was worth it. Because it was worth it. And if I have to die the same kind of death that Christ died in order to proclaim this message of hope to other people who are here, that would be the greatest honor I could ever have. You know, we sent 1 missionary per million Muslims into the rest of the world over the past few decades, and God looked at us and said, well, since you're not going, we're going to bring them here. And so he brought Muslims to Denver, Colorado. There's tons of them. And you are here. God left us here for the specific purpose of loving others and leading them to Christ and sharing God's love with them and letting them know what it means to be loved by God. That is why we're here. That is why we're here. And God equips us to do that. And there's hope and purpose and peace and love in that. And that is the gospel.
Qureshi made the official announcement of his cancer diagnosis in August 2016. He said this in a Facebook post, quote, this is an announcement that I never expected to make, but God, in his infinite and sovereign wisdom, has chosen me for this refining, and I pray he will be glorified through my body and my spirit. My family and I have received the news that I had advanced stomach cancer, and the prognosis is quite grim. Unquote. In the last video before his death, he said he hoped he leaves behind a legacy of love, saying, quote, as you consider my ministry, I hope it leaves a message of love, of peace, of truth, of caring for one another. Our God is a God of love. Unquote. In summary, I'd like to cite the words of Christ himself from Matthew 16:24. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It's my prayer that you will be inspired by the life of Nabil Qureshi, who was transformed by the life of Christ. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.